Just as an aside with regard to prayer, I had a really encouraging email this week. Ken Esau is, many of you will know him with his connection to Columbia Bible College. He's actually working with our Canadian conference office right now in a different role, taking a different role from his teaching at the college. And he called this week and said that he and Elton De Silva, who is the Canadian director of our conference, will be here on our property this Saturday, just walking around the property praying for our church, and just asked how can they pray for us, and so I sent them some things. But I tell you, that just, it did something for me. I've been in denominational leadership, and quite often it's very administrative, and there certainly are many administrative responsibilities, but just that our conference leaders would come and want to uphold us in prayer, and I just want to encourage you with that same word this morning. So we're moving on in our conversation about developing discipleship lessons, and I had this image in my mind of teachers, since we're in back-to-school time. Imagine a teacher, a first-time teacher, going into the classroom, and the principal comes in and says, "Wow, here we go. We're excited for a new year of learning, and you know, no matter what grade it is, there are so many things that we want to teach to the children this year," and the conversation just going, "Yeah, this is really important, and we really want to do a good job." And then the principal would say, "So, where are you going to start?" And the teacher goes, "Oh, I don't know, I never really thought about that." That's where we are. That there are so many things that we want to pass on to new believers, and if Christ asked us, if he asked me, "Norm, where would you start?" I go, "Boy, I'm not sure I really thought about that." And so what we're doing together is thinking about that exact question: if we were going to make new disciples of Christ, what would that look like? And so I want to just thank you for your gracious participation over the last couple of weeks, for the enthusiastic conversation where it was even hard at the end to get the groups to say, "Okay, it's time to stop talking, let's start reporting." So I appreciated the energy in the room. And we ended last week, and I asked you to text message to me the five top things, the five things that you would want to communicate, five lessons that you would want to communicate to a new believer. And I put a phone number up there, and there were five groups that texted in their responses. And I'd said I would start this morning by sharing those responses with you. So if you take five groups and they send in five things each, that means you would get 26 responses, right? Well, that's what we got. We got 26 responses, a little bit overeager there. And it indicates how difficult this is to narrow this down to only five. Some of the responses repeated, and I'll show you that in just a minute. Some of them were quite distinct. In fact, there were 20 distinct answers, okay? 20 distinct answers of the top five things. Just think about that. And then there were a number that overlapped. So with the overlap, I had to take a little bit of liberty to say, you know, this one said this one said almost the same thing, but it's not quite the same words, so I put them together. You understand what I'm saying? So here's what we came up. Number one answer came up four times, is the love of God. Something to do with God loves you, God's love, the love of God, something to that effect. The number two answer, there were actually three that each came up three times. Community, the sense of community, the need to be together, and the church. Those two themes came up three times. Three times, scripture and prayer. Okay, that kind of makes sense that would be in the top five. Three times, some kind of affirmation of the abundant life that we have as new believers. So, for example, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. So that phrase, a wonderful plan for your life, could be abundant life. Or it could be just the abundance of your life as you're living in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. But that abundant life theme came through three times. And then what I would call, well, I guess it's the number five answer. I said number three. It came up twice. Is just going over what it means, the salvation that this new believer has in Christ. What does it mean to be redeemed? And so just the need to affirm what has happened in a new believer's life. Again, great response. Now, I'm going to add a couple of things to that. These are some noteworthy things that I want to add. Let's put the next slide up, Carrie. Okay, so four different times there were people that mentioned the Holy Spirit, okay, but never in the same context, okay? So one was the Holy Spirit in the context of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. One was the Holy Spirit in the context of spiritual gifts in the church, okay? That makes sense. One was the Holy Spirit in the context of the abundant life. So do you put that under abundant life or do you put that under Holy Spirit? I'm not sure. So there are four distinct answers with the Holy Spirit, but none of them had the same application of that teaching, which is interesting because you could very easily take the Holy Spirit as a section and make five lessons out of that, okay? So that may be something we'd want to do down the road. And then there were, again, 11 responses that appeared only once. Okay, so they were only on one list of all of these. Now, a couple of observations. I've been thinking about this quite a bit and just kind of processing all these things, and so a couple of observations I want to make. Number one, it really does take time, effort, concentration to think through a well-considered response to this question. In fact, when I said, do you have any feedback, the first piece of feedback last week was, we didn't have enough time, which is absolutely true. I gave you just a few minutes last week. Now, I've been trying to answer this question, what would be the top five things I would want to teach? I've been thinking about this since we closed that season of prayer and fasting back in April. So I've had 4 or 5 months to think about this, and I keep changing my answers. I keep reorganizing my stuff. And so I want to say two things. Number one, you're right. It's not easy, and there is no right answer. There's no one right answer. But number two, I want to say these consensus answers are really good answers, and I'm going to come back to them in just a moment. The second thing, you may recall, what's our goal in doing this? Okay, and this to me is really important. I want to keep this in front of you. That each one of us would be able to say, if we were to introduce you to a new believer and say, hey, would you disciple this person? That you would be ready and able to say, I know right where to start. So that's actually a pretty ambitious goal. That all of us would be able to say, I know right where to start. And not only that as individuals we would know that, but that as a church we would have agreement, where would we start? How does this reflect the teachings that are important to us as a church? And so I'm actually really encouraged that we've taken some really great steps last week, and we're going to take a further step this morning. Here's my third observation, and this one I thought was a little bit humorous, let me put it that way. I suspect, I don't know this because I don't know who sent the responses in, but I suspect that one group took me very literally when I asked for only five lessons that you could teach to a new believer. Okay, think about what that means. What I said was only five, and I kept asking you to pare it down to only five. Had I used more concise language, I might have said, what are the first five lessons you would teach a new believer? That's different than you only get five. Okay, if you only get five, you might have to put a lot of material into each lesson. So again, I don't know this as a fact. I suspect that one group was taking all the suggestions that were coming together and saying, well, that's kind of like this one. Let's create a category of lessons, kind of like the Holy Spirit, and here's five things. So I think they created categories and put all kinds of really good material inside those lessons. So I'm going to show you one of the lessons that this group did. Again, I don't know who it is, and I actually think it's really helpful for us. But one of the lessons is this. Trinity. Holy Spirit, God, Jesus. Example, who Jesus is and how he redeems us. Concepts of heaven and hell and why it matters. There's more to this life than what we see. The spirit world is real. That's one lesson. Now, clearly, that's more than one lesson, and that's why I'm thinking, okay, I think this is what happened here, because all five of their responses were really robust. They all had a lot of information in them, and this is really helpful for us this morning because it leads us to where we want to go today, and that is to think not just in terms of five lessons, but categorizing the lessons. Do we do a section on the Holy Spirit with five lessons? Is that appropriate for a new believer? If you took these, if you took this response, and what I did is I characterized it, I said this would be a section, I called it the nature of the spiritual world. That seems to be the theme here. Lesson one might be the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lesson two might be on heaven and hell. You can see that up there. Lesson three could be on the unseen world that's all around us. And the Apostle Paul has a lot to say about that in the book of Ephesians. It's a really important subject. Lesson four, again, drawing from this material, I would do how the unseen world and the material world, how the spiritual world and the material world, how they intersect, part one, okay? And that would be the incarnation and redemption that they've listed there. That's how the worlds intersect. And then again, taking from this material, I would go how these two worlds intersect, part two, which would be our daily living. And for that, I would go to the phrase, why does all this matter? Like, how would you actually live differently because of the nature of the spiritual world? So I just think that was a great exercise and a great response that helps us. But for today, here we go. We're thinking about five lessons for a new believer. The first five lessons. So what I want to do is, if I could give this first five lessons a title, we could call this the first steps of following Jesus. You could call this foundations. You could call it the basics. Christianity 101, but this is as basic as it gets. That's what we're trying to do. And on the whole, the responses that I had listed on the screen a few minutes ago really line up quite well with the thinking that I've been doing about this for quite a while. So let me show you how the work that we did last week and then the work that I've been doing, how they intersect. First, one of the top responses was scripture and prayer. I agreed, but I separated them. I said, let's do one lesson on how to read the Bible, and then a second lesson on how to pray. I thought just, we want this really low complexity. A new believer doesn't know anything, so let's just make this as simple as possible. So I separated the two. A second, again, one of the responses that came up three times, community in the church. I thought the same thing, that we have to say something about the church. So what is the church, the nature of the church? That would be one lesson. Again, and this is where the Holy Spirit came up four times in distinct ways. I, too, had a lesson on the Holy Spirit, but kind of an introductory lesson. What's the initial role that the Holy Spirit does? What's the first thing you need to know about the Holy Spirit? And just that he is a guide for life, and what does that look like? And then number one answer came up with four out of five groups was God's love, and I absolutely agreed. I put that God loves the world so that it's not just that God loves you, but that, you know, John 3:16, God so loved the world. so that this believer might not only receive the love of God, but have immediately, as a new believer, the context of that God also loves other people. And I keep coming back to this picture in my mind. Again, we have a new follower of Christ, okay? 5 weeks later, here's what we have. We have a new believer who is established in the daily disciplines of Bible reading and prayer, who is committed to the fellowship of the church, who is learning to pay attention to the presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives, and that they are aware of God's love for the world, for their friends, for the people that they're working with, for their family, that they might share the love of God. I thought, boy, if we could plant those five seeds in a new believer in the first 5 weeks, that would be awesome. That would be a fantastic foundation. And so I acknowledge again, these are just the first five things. Let me give you a clue as to what I'm thinking the next section would be like. To me, if we got through these first 5 weeks, what would we do next? Well, I think, you know, we haven't said anything yet about the Lord's Supper and baptism. Those are pretty important topics for a new believer. So in my mind, I think in terms of could we do five lessons on the symbols and the story of salvation, starting from the Passover to temple sacrifices to baptism, the Lord's Supper. And you can see how those would easily turn into five lessons. And I would go, boy, that would be really foundational. It grounds the individual in the scriptural story of salvation. And then I think, okay, here we have this new follower of Jesus. So we're what, 10 weeks in? What would that be? Three, 2.5 months, something like that. And we haven't said anything about Jesus yet. I'm going, seems to me if we're going to be followers of Jesus, we should do something with the teachings of Jesus. And so again, you can see how this eventually would unfold in a very natural way, that we might actually spend some time talking about the central teachings of the Sermon on the Mount. What does it mean to be God's kingdom people? Which is the language that we use here all the time. And so it would give them a context for that. But again, if we had to choose a place to start, this is, I think, a great place to start. It may not be the only place to start, but it is a great place to start. Establishing daily and weekly rhythms of scripture, prayer, fellowship with the church, the indwelling of the Spirit, and the love of God for the world. So, now we get to work again this morning. Here we go. If our first lesson was on how to read the Bible, if that's our first lesson, then I'm going to ask you to think about this. What is one verse that you think would be a good central verse for this lesson? So if we're going to teach someone how to read the Bible, where would you go in the scriptures? What verse would you suggest to anchor that lesson? Now, I'm going to get you to start thinking about that, and then we're going to I'll put you into groups again just to share a little bit what comes to your mind. But let me give you a little bit of instruction here. Some of you may know that Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible, but it's all about the scripture. The whole thing is about God's word. Don't choose that. Because, number one, it's a lot to think about, and number two, I'm going to ask you to memorize our key verse. Okay, so we want this to be simple, because I think we want to teach a new believer to memorize scripture. And so this would be maybe the first scripture that we would ask someone to memorize. So again, think in terms of if you were going to choose one verse to capture the theme of how to understand the Bible, how to read the Bible, where would you go? I ended up with a list that said why it's important to read the Bible, which was distinct from how to read the Bible. So I started separating them, and I narrowed it down doing that. And so to me, if if you take that, there are some, you know, there's some great scriptures. I'm not going to go through the editing process right now, but some of them are more focused on why it's really important. Why do I memorize scripture? So that I don't sin. It does teach us memorizing scripture. That's a good thing. So that's one piece of it. For the sake of time, let me just tell you where I landed. Of all these scriptures, I landed on ones that talked about day and night, that we read scripture daily, that was an important thing that I would want a new believer to do. So the two scriptures, Psalm 1 verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night, and Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. So they talk about day and night. Joshua 1:8 also talks about what you're doing with it day and night, that there's an element of meditation, we're actually thinking about what it says, and obedience, that thinking about it isn't enough, and that success actually comes by the obedience of spending time in the Word every day. So these could be two just outstanding verses that we could use in this. So what I want to do is I'm going to take the feedback, and I think especially those two verses, Psalm 1 verse 2, Joshua 1:8, and form them into a simple lesson. How do you read the Bible? Well, you do something day and night, you meditate on it, you obey it, and that leads to a successful life. So I'm going to take that and shape it into a lesson, and then I'm going to bring it back to you, and we can look at it next week, and then we'll work on the next lesson together. The thing I want you to think about right now is all this stuff is already in your head, right? These scriptures are there. All we're doing is teaching you to draw on them, to organize your thoughts in a way that's really going to be helpful for the benefit of a new believer. These lessons are, if you were here last week, low complexity, okay, as simple as possible for someone who is motivated to learn. Low complexity, highly motivated new believers. That's what we're aiming at. We're not trying to convince anybody to become a Christian. We're simply feeding a new believer the milk of the Word, in the words of what Dave just said a moment ago. Second, memorization. Choose one of these two verses, Joshua 1:8 and Psalm 1 verse 2, and memorize it this week. And we're going to start with that next week. We'll say the verses out loud together, because I believe that Psalm 119 is right, that when we do hide scripture in our heart, when we memorize it, that it actually does bring an effect to us. And I would want to teach a new believer that. And if I want to teach a new believer that, I want to model that for a new believer. So here's the hardest part here. In discipling a new believer, you're really mentoring them. So are you spending time in scripture every morning? Or every night. I know there are the morning and evening types of people again, but is there a daily feeding on the Word? Not just are you reading it, but are you meditating on it? God, what are you actually saying to me about this? And are you doing something? Is it actually changing your behavior? Is there something that you're doing in response to the Scripture? That we as disciple makers would be modeling the things that we're teaching. So as much as this is an exercise in equipping, it's also an exercise in accountability, that these are all things that we should be practicing ourselves. Father, thank you for just our time in your Word this morning. Thank you for just stretching our thinking a little bit about how to communicate important truths to new believers who have come to trust you and love you and who want to learn. We just thank you in anticipation that you're going to bring us people like that. We're going to see people come to Christ, and that we'll have the privilege of leading them through their first steps of walking daily with you. And so, Father, we submit our teaching to you. I pray that you would just begin to burn these things into our own thinking, into our minds, that we would be becoming equipped to do the good work that you have for us. So we just submit this all to you now in the name of Christ. Amen.